Amen. Yes, yes. 1 Samuel chapter 3 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3 as we continue our God Has Something For You series, looking at the calls of God upon people in the Bible and how that can relate to us, because God has something for you as well. In each and every season of our life, God has something for us. He created us with a plan and purpose in mind. And He always is inviting us, summoning us, calling us to something, to partner with Him. And this morning we are looking again at the call of Samuel. I'd like you to follow along with me as I read the first 10 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel continued serving the Lord under Eli's supervision. Word from the Lord was rare in those days. Revelatory visions were infrequent. Eli's eyes had begun to fail so that he was unable to see well. At that time, he was lying down in his place, and the lamp of God had not yet been extinguished. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord as well. The ark of God was also there. The Lord called to him, to Samuel, and he replied, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. The Lord again called Samuel. So Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you, my son. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Then the Lord called Samuel a third time. So he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Eli then realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go back and lie down, and when he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood nearby, calling as he had previously done, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, for your servant is listening." There's so much in the call of Samuel that we could talk about. But God specifically said to me, "I don't want you to talk about Hannah. That could be a whole sermon in itself some other time. And I don't want you to talk a lot about Eli, the priest that Samuel served under, in a sense, his spiritual leader, his spiritual mentor or supervisor. But I do want to say a couple of things about the parent or parents and the priest. And that is this, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you. Just as we had the dedication of these children this morning in the house of the Lord, certainly God can use faithful parents. Certainly, you know, the faithfulness of parents can certainly provide a spiritual environment and atmosphere for their children to thrive and grow in. But God doesn't need that. God can override and overrule unfaithful parents. Amen. And even a lack of a spiritual home environment, because God's call is very personal. And it is not dependent on whether a home environment is a certain way or not. Again, God can use faithful parents. And God will use faithful parents. But He can also, and I hope this will be an encouragement, He can also override and overrule unfaithful parents. And again, home environments that maybe aren't the best spiritually, because again, God is a very personal God. The same thing is true with spiritual leaders or mentors in our life. God can use faithful spiritual leaders and mentors. But just like with Samuel, with Eli, Eli was not a faithful priest of God, as we're going to see. And God could override and overrule Samuel, not, you know, serving in necessarily the best spiritual environment, having the best spiritual leader or mentor over him. Because God can use faithful mentors and leaders in our life, but he can also overrule and override unfaithful spiritual leaders and unfaithful spiritual mentors. He is not dependent on any of us as human beings or our environment or circumstance. God is greater than all of that. And with that said, again, we could have a sermon series on Hannah. We could have a sermon series on Eli. And someday the Lord might lead me to that. But for today, that's not where we're going. What I do want to talk about today are two primary things. I want to encourage us with the character of God that we see displayed in the call of Samuel. And I want to see us challenged today by some of the traits and characteristics of this young boy, Samuel, because you'll note in verse 8 of chapter 3 that the Lord was calling this boy when he was very young. Can God call children? He absolutely can. He can. Age has nothing to do with God's call. As we've already seen with Moses and with Joshua, he called them when they were 80 years of age. So it doesn't matter how old or how young we are, how long we've walked with God or how short we've walked with God. God always has something for us, and God can call us. So here, he was calling a very young boy. As he was calling him, I want you to see four things about our God, again, that I hope will be encouraging to you. First, God is personal. He's a personal God. Note, every time he came to call Samuel, he called him by name. Just as we've seen throughout our Call of God series, when he came to Moses, he said, Moses, Moses. When he came to Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah. When he came to Joshua, he said, Joshua. He calls his people by name. Jesus even said in John 10, I know my sheep by name and I call them by name. He's the God who named every star that he created and threw up there in the heavens. He knows us very personally. He knows you very personally. He knows you by name, and he wants to establish a personal relationship with every one of you. He wants to have a personal relationship with every one of you. In fact, he wanted to start that with this young boy at this point because he had a plan and purpose for Samuel that he created Samuel for. And you'll note then in verse 7, when it says Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, it doesn't mean that Samuel was ignorant of God. It simply means that up to that point, all that Samuel knew of God was secondhand. He knew about God through his parents. He knew about God by serving God in his sanctuary. He knew about God through Eli, even as an unfaithful priest and all of that. So he had picked up things about God, but he had not yet had this firsthand, personal, experiential walk with God where he began to go, oh, that's God's voice speaking to me, and begin to respond to that. That was going to start right here and now. And God is the same way with us. He wants his people, he wants all of us to understand that he desires a personal relationship with our Creator. Amen. I hope you have that today. And I hope not only that if you have that, that you're living in that, that you are walking in that relationship. Like Enoch walked with God, like Noah walked with God, that you're literally having a very personal relationship. And as one of his sheep, you are recognizing more and more his voice, and you are following him in whatever path he's taking you down as your good shepherd. God is personal, very personal. Second, we see in this passage that he's not only a personal God, he's a God who pursues. Note that he's the one that takes the initiative here to come to Samuel. Samuel is not seeking God in a sense at this point, at least in that way. God is seeking more of Samuel. And that's the way God is with all of us. God always takes the initiative. John writes, we love him, God, because he first loved us. God pursued us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we took no thought of God, had no thought of God. It was God who came to us. It was God who sent his one and only Son into this world so that we could have eternal life. God is always going to be pursuing us. In fact, that's true of God throughout our whole life. God will always be pursuing us, wanting to draw us closer to him, wanting to establish a deeper, more intimate, more personal relationship and walk with him. He's not only a God who's personal, he's a God who pursues. And we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 3. But with that pursuit, also know this. God takes into account that Samuel does not yet have that experience of acknowledging and recognizing the voice of God. So God also is very patient with Samuel, and he's patient with us. Notice he comes to Samuel multiple times. God doesn't come to Samuel, call him. Samuel runs to Eli, which is the wrong, you know, that's not who was calling him. And God just goes, oh, you didn't get it the first time. I'm done with you. No. I want to encourage you today because I get to share this with a lot of Christians. I have so many encounters with Christians through my 41 years as a pastor who say, Pastor, one of the things that causes anxiety in me is that I'm worried I'm going to miss what God has for me, that I'm going to miss what he wants to say to me, and that somehow I'm not going to get it. Listen, my friends, based upon the authority of God's word, when God wants you to hear something or get something, you won't miss it. Amen. He will make it so clear. And he will repeat himself over and over again. And if he has to come to you multiple times in order for it to get through, and I'll just use myself, my thick skull, he'll do it. And he'll do it even when we're maybe distracted and all that. God is very patient with us in making sure that we are hearing what he wants us to hear, seeing what he wants us to see, experiencing what he wants to experience. So don't be worried that if you miss it the first time, that God's just going to bypass you and move on. God is a very patient God. And God may even be here today going, you missed it the first couple times, so I'm coming back around again. I don't know how many times, if we've ever, looking at my wife, shared this story with you, but it's appropriate. When we were in upstate New York and sort of, again, saying, okay, God, where do you want us to move? And we'd already been given sort of that hint that Arizona might be a possibility because my roommate from Bible college actually started a church out here in Gold Canyon. That's why we live there. We're in upstate New York, so we're pretty far away from Arizona, right? I'm not kidding you. We would turn on the television. First commercial, Arizona. We would go out riding in our car, and we would be behind a moving truck. Arizona. We'd go, and we'd see a billboard, and it had something about Arizona. I mean, we couldn't escape it. It was like God saying, here you go. That's the way God works. Amen. And you see that with Samuel. He pursued Samuel, and he was patient with Samuel, and then finally, I want you to see here, too, to encourage us, God is present with Samuel, just as he is present with us. Notice something very interesting that Samuel records in verse 3 later on when he's writing this, you know, from memory. It says, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, and guess what? The Ark of the Covenant was right there with him. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic and a manifestation of the presence of God in the Old Testament. It was God in the midst of his people. As if that wouldn't be enough, that the Ark of the Covenant was right there with Samuel, then go up with me to verse 10. The last time the Lord called to him, notice what it says at the beginning of verse 10. The Lord came and stood nearby. The Lord was near Samuel. Do you know what Philippians 4:5 says? Paul says, the Lord is near. The Lord is present. He's not far away. Listen, I can't wrap my mind around how magnificent and awesome and great God is, but in some way, God can be on the throne of the universe, controlling and sovereign over everything, and still be very present and personal with each of us. At the same time, you ask, how can God do that? I don't know. I could never figure that out. But God can do it. He can be up there on his throne, ruling the universe, in control of everything, and yet still be right here and very near to each of us. He's a present God, and he's present here today. And he's near each and every one of us. And I hope that will be an encouragement to you. In fact, notice in verse 19, it says, Samuel continued to grow, and the Lord was with him. When God calls us to something, God is inviting us to something, God is saying, I want you to partner with me in something, he is right there with us every step of the way. We are never alone. He will never abandon us or forsake us. Never. God is personal, God pursues, God is patient, God is present. I want you to be encouraged by what we see of our God here. But then I also want us to be challenged by some of the character traits of this young boy, Samuel. Would you go back with me just for a moment to the previous chapter, to chapter 2, and look at verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. The first thing I see in Samuel is that he is conscientious. Conscientious. Notice it says Samuel was ministering before the Lord. The word ministering there literally means to worship the Lord through service. It's as much about worship as it is about service. See, sometimes we compartmentalize things as Christians, say I'm either worshiping or serving. No, we can be worshiping God through our service. That's exactly what this young boy was doing. And what it means is that it was devoted service. It was diligent service. That what this young boy was doing while he was serving the Lord in the Lord's sanctuary, he did it with everything he had. He did it with excellence. He did it with enthusiasm. Why? Because he was doing it to the Lord. Notice those last three words, before the Lord. The Samuel was ministering before the Lord. He realized that everything he did was before the face of God, before the eyes of God. I hope that doesn't creep you out. I hope it inspires you to know that literally all of life is done before the eyes of God, before his presence. And that made Samuel, this young boy, very conscientious, very careful about what he did and what he got involved with and how he did it, because he knew that ultimately he was living before the audience of one. He wasn't doing it for other people. He was doing it for the Lord, you see. Conscientious. Let me ask you, at the beginning of this new year, 2026, I want to challenge all of us, including myself, to go, you know what? I want to be more conscientious toward the Lord and toward the things of God this coming year. I want to take more care in what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, because I'm doing it before the Lord. I am aware of the presence of God, and I want to do it with excellence. So therefore, I'm not going to get overly involved. I'm going to do a few things and I'm going to do them really well because I'm doing them for the Lord. And what I'm doing, I'm going to do enthusiastically, as Colossians 3:23 says, because I'm doing it to the Lord. Conscientious. That's this young boy, Samuel. The second thing I see in Samuel is that he was not only conscientious, he was attentive. He was so aware all the time. He was not a young boy that was distracted like we are many times, or not in the moment. And you see that in the way he responds every time the Lord calls him. Notice in verse 4, the Lord calls to Samuel, and notice he says, "Here I am." When he even runs to Eli, he says, "Here I am, for you called me." In verse 6, the Lord calls him again, and what's he say? "Here I am, for you called me." And then the third time, verse 8, when the Lord calls him, he says again, "Here I am." It is the Hebrew word hineni, and what it means is to be fully present in the moment, to be all there, to be all in, to be attentive. You and I both know that there are times in our relationships with other people where we're trying to talk to them, convey something to them, explain something to them, and they're not really listening. They're not really attentive to what we're saying. And we can be that way with other people. Like they're trying to tell us something or explain something to us, and we're a million miles. Our mind is somewhere else. Notice that as soon as Samuel hears a voice, and it's not, he doesn't even know it's the Lord yet. He just thinks it's his spiritual mentor, his spiritual leader, Eli. He is up. He's running. He's like, "Here I am. I'm all in." Abraham used this same phrase when it came to how he responded to God. Moses used this same phrase, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." Oh, that we would be that attentive to the moving of God, to the voice of God in our life. That, man, it didn't take some, you know, crisis or calamity or something drastic for God to get our attention. That, man, as soon as God, you know, said something, we'd be right there because we're already tuning ourselves in to God and what God is doing. This is this young boy. He's not only conscientious, he's attentive. And then also, notice in verse 10, he's also responsive. The Lord came, stood nearby, calling as he had previously, chapter 3, verse 10, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, I'll give Eli credit. These are the words that Eli told him to say when he recognized, this is the Lord calling you, not me. But I want to zero in on that word, listening. "Speak, for your servant is listening." It means more than just having the faculty of physically hearing something and understanding it. It literally speaks about responding to what I hear, responding by obedience, responding by following, responding by moving, by acting. That's the same reason why Jesus says to his followers in the Gospels throughout, "Let him who has ears hear." Amen. Whoever has ears to hear, better hear. Jesus wasn't questioning whether they were physically hearing what he was saying. Are they going to respond to it? See, that's so important, that we not only be conscientious and attentive, but that we be a responsive people who isn't just hearing the word of God, as James says, but we're doing it. We're carrying out, we're moving to it, you see. And that's what this word means. It is the Hebrew word shama. And for those of you that are aware of this, that's what this entire ministry is named after. We are Shama Ministries. That's what the Oasis Church is incorporated under the umbrella of Shama Ministries. Why did I choose the word Shama? Because of this very thing. It was my desire, because I was wrestling with the Lord, to finally respond in a positive way to God calling me to start this church. And I wanted to raise up and be the pastor of a group of people who didn't just hear God's voice, but who positively and obediently responded to it. That's what Samuel is saying here. He's saying, "Lord, I'm ready to respond." And notice then what God does. Just like God did to Gideon. Many times when God begins to call, again, as you've heard me say, God doesn't throw us a softball right off the bat. Many times God throws a hard curve or a fastball. Because God wants to say, look, what I've got planned for you, you need to be all in with me right from the get-go. So last week we saw when he called Gideon, after Gideon built an altar for him, then God comes back to him and says, now here's what I want you to do, Gideon. Your first assignment is you got to go and tear down your father's false altars. Whoa, that's going to cause a family crisis. Yeah, because your dad, he's an idolater, and he's built all these altars to these false gods. So guess what I want you to do, Gideon? I want you to go and tear all your father's altars down. That was not an easy thing to do, right? But he needed to know that Gideon was all in with him, regardless of the other relationships in his life, that Gideon was ready to put God first. And God is going to have a very difficult assignment for young boy Samuel, too. Notice in verse 11, he says then to Samuel, look, I'm about to do something in Israel. When anyone hears about it, both of his ears will tingle. On that day, I will carry out against Eli everything that I spoke about his house from start to finish. You should tell him that I'm about to judge his house forever because of the sin that he knew about, for his sons were cursing God, and he did not rebuke them. By the way, that says something to us as parents too, doesn't it? Part of the reason why Eli was an unfaithful priest is because he allowed his sons to basically discredit the Lord through their wickedness by staying as priests in the house of the Lord. And even when he did speak to his sons had no regard for the word from because they saw the inconsistencies and the unfaithfulness and the lack of genuineness in their own father, which then his word carried no weight in their life. And God says, I'm judging him. And guess who I'm going to tap to give him the message of judgment? This young boy, Samuel. Can you imagine? You're going to your spiritual leader. You're going to your spiritual mentor. You're going to your spiritual supervisor that you've served the Lord under for these years as a young boy, and now you're the one that's got to deliver the message of judgment? Again, I'll give Eli props when he needs to be given props. Notice it says in verse 15 that Samuel at the end was afraid to tell Eli about the vision or the judgment that was coming. Hey, he's human. And there's going to be times when God calls us to do things for him that's going to cause fear. It doesn't mean we don't do them. You see, we have to learn to embrace doing some of the difficult, challenging things that God asks us to do, even when we're afraid to do them. If you're waiting to, you know, not be afraid to step up and step out, you'll never do much for God. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. Every Sunday and Wednesday, I'm afraid to come out and teach God's word in front of you people, but I do it. But it's not because I'm not afraid, because I know the weight that that carries. I know the responsibility that I have. And it's a little fearful. But I do it because I know God's calling me to do it. And I want to encourage you with that. Don't wait till you're not afraid to serve the Lord. Don't wait till you're so comfortable and it's everything fit. No. This young boy, he was afraid. But when he goes to Eli, notice Eli says in verse 17, whatever God has said to you, don't conceal it from me, because God will judge you severely if you don't tell me. So verse 18, Samuel told him everything, did not hold anything from him. And you know, out of that, what happens? Notice verse 19. Samuel continued to grow. Do you know that a lot of times our growth comes from being willing to do the difficult, hard things that God asks us to do? It's not just that we grow through worship and we go through our study of the word and we grow through prayer and all those other things. Sometimes we grow through doing a hard thing, a fearful thing. throughout the history of even this church, and I've seen it over my 41 years, sometimes the difficult, hard things that God asked me to do, the decisions that God had me to make, they were hard decisions and they caused some issues for a time. But then after that season, I saw God grow. I saw growth come. I saw spiritual growth come and physical growth come, just as we've seen in this season. And that's what was happening with Samuel. He was continuing to grow and the Lord was with him, and none of his prophecies fell to the ground unfulfilled. One more thing I'd like to share with you about Samuel, because it's a template for all of us. It's the way God works in all of our life. Look at the end of verse 21 into chapter 4. The Lord had revealed himself to Samuel through the word of the Lord, and Samuel then revealed the word of the Lord to all of Israel. This is the way God works. First of all, God primarily reveals himself to us through his word. Through his word. Okay? And notice, he reveals himself. If you and I are studying the Word of God and we're not getting more about God, then we're missing something. It's primarily not a book about human beings and about, you know, prophecies. It's primarily a book about God. Are we seeing more of God in and through His Word? And then once God does a work in us, notice, then God does a work through us. God first revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Then Samuel revealed the word to all of Israel. That's the template God uses. God wants to do a work in each of us. And it's primarily a work of showing himself even more to us so that then we can share more of him to those that he leads us to. Listen. God has something for us at the beginning of this year. He has something for us as a church, but he also has something for each of you. The Lord is calling, as we've seen here today. And I hope that at the beginning of this year, I think we could declare no better words to God than what Samuel said to the Lord when he recognized it was the Lord who was calling. He said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I hope that will be our heart in this moment, in this season of our life, that we want to be conscientious like young Samuel, that we want to be attentive like young Samuel, and that we want to be responsive like young Samuel, even when God might be asking us to do something hard, difficult, challenging, or even painful. So with that, I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And while they're coming and getting settled, would you stand with me and join me in prayer? Father, I pray today that as you are speaking and as you are calling and as you are stirring, God, we would be listening. Not just hearing, not just comprehending and understanding, but God, willing to act, willing to move, willing to obey, willing to follow. That's what Shama means. That's what it means to truly respond to God. And so, Lord, what better way to start this new year than by declaring to you, God, Lord, it's not my life. It's your life, God. You take it. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies as long as we are here on earth because of what you have done for us. May we lay ourselves on your altar, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.